Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I come by the Lord Jesus confessing my sins as I go into your word today. Lord, I duck under covering and ask for your mercy to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of the kingdom of God today. As you share from your word, I pray for utterance to be given unto me. Allow him to speak the word in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of Holy Spirit. As the word goes forth, let it cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten with revelation, knowledge, and our emotions to further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Help me to bring out of the treasure of all things new and old. Help me to redeem it and not to say things that are necessary. As your word goes forth, let it break yokes in our lives. Cause needs to meet. Bring glory to the name of Jesus and blessing to us, the sons of men. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that which you're doing in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Please, I'll be grateful you can play that song in the background. The title of my message this evening is a very simple message. It's something we heard over and over again. In fact, I'll call it the exhortation, you know, because really there's nothing that needs to be said again. We taught everything. The issue now is for us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Praise the Lord. The title of my message today is Overcoming Fear in This End Time. Let's say it together, Overcoming Fear in This End Time. As I waited upon the Lord, waiting for something that he will have me share, the Lord led me to read the scriptures, which I'll be reading as we go into the world today. You see, all over the air around us, there is fear in the atmosphere. You know, you can't deny it. You know, just this morning, I was just checking on my phone. I have an app, a CNN app, says that this guy in North Korea, he just fired a ballistic missile. He said it's the 14th one or that he will fire this year. And was bragging and saying that if America tries something, is willing to. So it's as if, like Pastor shared some time ago, it's as if as we leave one, another one kicks off again. You know, we are talking about COVID. That one lasted for such a long time. God had mercy on us. As we are saying, let's relax a bit. Another one came. You see, folks, we are coming to that season that the only place of our rest is in God. There's a scripture somewhere in the Bible, I can't remember, just comes to me. It says, as if a man flee from a lion and a bear met him. I said, when he got home, thinking that I'm okay now, as he leaned upon the wall, what happened? A serpent bit him. These are perilous times. Perilous times, as we'll see. So let's go into the scripture so we don't waste time. Let's open our Bibles. We've got Luke chapter 21. We read first of all verses 9 to 10 in Amplified Bible. The Amplified explains it. It's clear in the Amplified Bible. Luke chapter 21, verses 9 to 10. And we read, and when you hear of wars and insurrections, disturbances, disorder, and confusion, do not become alarmed and panic stricken. That means it's going to that. When these things begin to happen, people are going to panic stricken and terrified. For all this must take place first, but the end will not come immediately. We can already see that happening. So you see, a lot of Christians, insurrection, that's what happened in America. But you see, as Christians, Bible says we should understand the times and the seasons. And then when we understand, we ought to know what Israel ought to do. There is something that God expects us to do, so we'll not be panic-stricken or afraid in this end time. Let me say something ahead. I don't prophesy doom. But see, things are going to get darker and darker. God, the Bible does not say in 2022, it will be dark. Then in 2023, it won't be as dark as no. Why? Because iniquity is abounding. But see, God has made a way of escape for us. Verse 10. And he says in Psalm 5, then he told them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Verse 11. There will be what? Mighty and violent earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, plagues. Let's read together. Malignant and contagious or infectious epidemics, diseases, which are deadly and devastating. And there will be what? Sights of terror and great signs from heaven. He paints a clear picture. You see, they didn't write the scriptures when this thing started happening or after it happened. God had predicted the end from the beginning. Are you following me? So this is exactly what is happening. And we can already see it in our midst. So we don't need anybody who tells you we are in the end time. Let's go to King James for time. Luke 21, verses 25 to 28. It's the same discourse, but I'm just speaking verses to redeem the time. Let's read from the King James Version to redeem time. And there shall be what? Signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations. With what? Perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26. Men's hearts. Failing them. For what? Say fear. Fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Pastor has taught us a Lord Moon Tetra that occurred in 2014 and 2015. We started bombarding the heavens. That these wicked spirits, they came down. No, in the time of Jesus Christ, he said something. He said, when he sent his disciples, he said, I saw what? Satan fall like lightning. Because we are destined to occupy the heavenly places, the man child. We're supposed to be caught up in heaven. That's not only talking about the rapture, but talking about us living, operating from the heavenlies. Seated now. Potentially, we are seated in heaven places in Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. But vitally now, we have to take up, soar high, and actually rule from there. The master says something. He said that the Son of Man that is on earth, yet is in heaven. So we begin to control. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, it said the heavens do rule. So God wants us to begin to rule. You see, but that place there is, two people can't be there. It's either we are there or they are there. So we have to bring them down. They have to fall once again like lightning. Now, you see, in the book of Revelation, just along the side, when Satan fell like lightning, Revelation chapter 12, what he did, he said, great wrath is come upon them that dwell upon the earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. That talks about, when we have been caught up, again, manifold wisdom of God, after the rapture, also has an interpretation in this present day. The inhabitants of the earth are carnal Christians that are living their heart bound. They have not learned daily to soar high and to rule and reign in the heavenlies. So, verse 27. And then shall they see. You see, verse 25 and 28 talks about the problem. In the midst of all this chaos that is going on, COVID, Putin is doing his own, things that are unimaginable. So in the midst of that, this is what is going to happen. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a what? Cloud with power and great glory. You see, the genesis of this message was that as I started praying, I had something else in mind to share. And I got now pointed my attention to this. He said that is the distraction of the end time. Fear. You see, it is in the midst of this chaotic situation, this gross darkness, that we are going to see the Son of Man come in a cloud. That is a cloud being a cloud of witnesses, that is Christians. But see, he says that men's hearts failing them for fear and for, looking after. Say, looking after. So what are you looking after? Are you looking for the appearing of the Son of Man in a cloud? Are you looking after the things that are happening in the world? That's the problem. That is the problem. Satan knows how to distract people. So he has orchestrated, he has kicked up something into the atmosphere. Chaos. So that says the hearts of men are beginning to fail them. Why are the hearts of men failing? He didn't say unbelievers. Men includes Christians and unbelievers. Their hearts begin to fail them for fear of looking after things that are coming upon the earth. So that God does not want us to look after. That word look there has the connotation of meditation. Ponder. Think upon. You see, it's good to be focused. Let me give you an example. As I'm sharing by the grace of God today, if I don't stay focused, if somebody's phone begins to ring, it will distract me. Are you following me? Why? We see, that's how what. But if I don't ignore that and focus on what I'm here to do, I'll be distracted. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem to go and fulfill the purpose and destiny, he was going to pass through Samaria. And they said they didn't greet him. And said, let us call fire down. I said, no, that's not the issue. I'm focused now. I have a few days to live. I must sweep my fob. The same thing with us in the body of Christ. You must not be looking after the fearful sights. We don't deny them. We know they are occurring, but we don't focus on them. Praise the Lord. So verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, Then look up. Say, look up. And lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. So in the midst of all that is going on, Putin doing his own. Are you following me? This guy in North Korea, if you come back to Nigeria, the ones that are kidnapping, you know, it's come to a place where if you don't guard your heart to travel, you'll be afraid to travel. Because you hear that they kidnap some people today. And then you discover that there are Christians among them. So it's not limited to unbelievers. If it was unbelievers, they would say, okay, maybe because they are sinners. No. There is a scripture that I just mentioned because of time. Psalm 91. It said that 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at the right hand. But it shall not come near thee. Now listen to this very carefully. We all claim that scripture, but like Pastor said, every promise in the Bible is conditional. The 10,000 shall fall at the right hand, shall not come ready. He said, only with thy eyes shall you see what? The reward of the wicked. Now, who is the wicked? Who is the wicked? Psalm 50, we have time to turn there. The wicked is someone that does not keep instructions. So you practice wickedness when you wake up in the morning and you don't do what you are supposed to do. That is wickedness. That's why executions are falling left, right, and center. The Bible says that even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For example, if I have to travel, if God says, go to Canada to go and minister, and he opens the door, it may be the valley of the shadow of death for people, but for me, I will fear no evil. Why? Because for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is where God wants us to be. Now, I mentioned something. Say, because your redemption draweth what does that word mean? Romans chapter 8 verse 22. It paints the same picture we read in the book of Luke. What does it say? Romans chapter 8 verse 22. I will read. Therefore, know. It says that we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in what? Pain together until now. That is where we are. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting what? For the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. So you see this same setting that we read in Luke being described by Paul here. The pastor calls it the transformation of our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. In which the life of God will be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is where we are. That is what we ought to focus on. You see, like I read, shared some time ago, we need to have what the Bible calls those eyes. It is said that those don't have peripheral vision. They can only see one thing at a time. So you're not distracted. You know it is going on, but you're not distracted about what is going on in Nigeria. You know, elections are coming up. Somebody said the other day, elections are coming up. Very soon now, they'll start begin their human sacrifice. I say, hey. Then you can't go out at night. We should not be afraid. Say, we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid. Because the Bible says, we shall not be afraid of what? Evil tidings. For our heart is what? Fixed. Trust in the Lord. Getting ahead of my time. Where is your heart fixed? It's supposed to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. As I said, it's nothing you are talking about today. It's an exhortation to enable us to hasten his coming. To be more diligent. Are you following me? So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 in the Amplified Bible, just describing these perilous times. Or let's first of all read the one of Message Bible, you know, so we can actually understand why we are. We are not denying the fact. But God has told us that in the midst of all this, we should lift our head and look up for our redemption dread now. The Bible says, same look, I don't have time to turn there. He said, in your patience, in your consistency, possess ye your souls. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's what he told. The same thing he told the Philadelphian church. He said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I have not denied my name. Therefore, I also will keep you. We are already in that hour of temptation. Message Bible in the same Luke chapter 21, verse 25 to 26 reads. He said, it will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, and sea in an uproar. And everyone all over the world in a panic, the wind knocked out of them. By the threat of doom, even the powers that be quaking. Folks, You can write it down, take it to the bank. There will be no third world war. There will be no third war. Say it convincingly. There will be no third world war. You know why? God has a program. You see, Pastor said something some years ago. I can never forget. He said when we had the civil war in Nigeria, the church was at the BBU stage. So we didn't know our left from our right. But now we've grown by the mercy and the grace of God. I remember one thing again. I just mentioned along the side. Somebody said, by Elton, there was time that they closed UI, doing Ali Mongo, Ali Mosco, but they called it Ali Mongo, you know, 76. He said, when they came to the fellowship, he said, he pointed at those people and said, what were you doing when this occurred? Now, why do you allow this to happen on your watch? Thank God for good managers. Thank God for the father of the house, fathers of the house, that we've been praying for Nigeria since. It's not because Satan doesn't want war to occur. It's because God has found a crop of people that daily. I was telling Pastor Andrew some days ago, I said, bros, we used to pray for Nigeria only on Tuesday before. Now it's every day, every prayer meeting. All of us, you know, initially, in this church some years ago, Nigeria was not even part of our confession when we went round up. All the people and groups of people that are going to our prayers for Nigeria. Now it's every time we are hitting at the enemy. It's a deluge. You don't understand why the Bible says that give no place to the devil. The question I would love to ask is this, not to condemn or criticize, what happened to the largest church in Europe? That what is going on in Ukraine is going on. What happened? The fact that God said there will be wars and rumors of wars does not mean it is the will of God. Understand that God is love. Understand that. God is saying, look, you know, you understand. I'm not criticizing, but this is what I just thought about. We not miss the day of our visitation. He spoke to the Israelites while he was with them. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I had wanted to gather you as a hen, gathers her chicks under. He said, but you have missed the day of your visitation. He said, there will come a time that one stone will not be left upon another. And it came to pass. Scripture, Pastor, so much has been given unto us. To whom much is given, much required. It's going to require more. We can't go to sleep. You see, it's not a question of having a church service. It's a question of doing what God has told you to do. It's not a question of having services and preaching prosperity. You see, Pastor will say something. I thought about these things. I don't have proof, you know, 100%. But I know something has gone wrong somewhere. And for everything that is going on, certain people will give an account. It's like in a football match. You have the goalkeeper. You have whoever, different positions. They now find the goalkeeper, leave the goalpost, go to an attack. We find men of God, leave their duty post, abandon where God put them, and they will go abroad to go and start a branch. People are going to give an account. Mark my word. Pastor will say that when this message, let me ask you a question as it's coming to me. These are not in my notes. What would have happened when Papa Ralph came to Nigeria and he went all over Nigeria and he said he was going to give up because he did not receive the message? Until he came to Scripture, Pastor. What would have happened when Pastor said that God started bringing him to the prophetic? He had not changed and made that transition at that time. Where can I have an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do? We know what is happening in the body of Christ worldwide. It's like when you are playing a football match. Because you may be saying, how come we are praying and we don't see? No, God is answering our prayers. God is answering our prayers. I want you to be assured of that. But you see, what is going on is this. Like a football match, you're supposed to have 11 players. Are you getting me? And let's say 3 or 4. You are 5 men down, so to speak. I'm just praying 6 people. The midfield is down. So you have people like, I don't know, name a defender, Yobo or whatever. One of our Nigerian players that is trying to play 3 positions at the same time to cover up. That's what is going on. We are playing a match and we must win. But some of those that are supposed to be on the pitch have left to somewhere else. Something come out of the dressing room. You know, like in our country here, you hear stories of our players when they're supposed to be training in camp. They'll say they'll bring, you see in the newspapers, I'm not criticizing that, they'll bring women. Some of them will sneak out, you know, of camp for party. Like that, I won't mention his name. That great player we had in those days, number 10. Everybody was, we built our hope on the guy for the under 20 World Cup. And this guy takes, he was the only person at that time that had a 505. Young chap, he could, look, I heard that guy could dribble the whole team. The qualifying match to go for that under 20 World Cup, he was the one that scored the goal. He was so arrogant. When he scored the goal, their coach is dead now, Udumezie. We know when he scored the goal. You know what the guy did? When he scored the goal, he took the ball and gave it to the tutor, the coach. That's your goal. Don't disturb me. Nobody could talk to him. He went out of camp like many of our men of God have done today. He lived where God has planted them. Then they got shot on the tie. The man said, this man can't go. The old nation said, if he has to go, if he does not go, we'll sack you. Of course, we lost. We came out in the first round. A lot of our so-called men of God today are injured. They are still playing, but they are not playing. Are you following me? You see, but what God is going to do is, we're not going to bring them to the pitch in this final match. God is raising up different people. So instead of them even going for this final World Cup that we have been, so to speak, spiritually speaking, they will just stay back. They have disqualified themselves. Oh no, okay, let's continue. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 in Amplified. Still describing the times we are living in. In the Amplified, say, but understand, say, understand this, that in the last days will come, set in, perilous times of great stress and trouble. Hard, say, hard to deal with and hard to bear. It is setting. When you say, it's set, you know, when you, background. God decided to choose this setting, perilous times for us to manifest. You see, you cannot say light is shining if there's no darkness. So the darker it gets, the brighter we should shine. So God allowed it to the intent to principalities and powers might be made known what? The manifold wisdom of God. So as you see, like it was in Goshen, there was darkness. People now begin to look at you, a regular person. Not that you are raising the dead every day. That's part of what we're going to do. But they begin to see you like a message pastor preached in them. I think it was 1990. It was the New Year message. I can never forget. That's when I started coming to scripture pastor. Being naturally supernatural. You need to go and listen to that message. That you are living a natural life supernaturally. So people begin to take note of you. Excuse me, sir. Maybe you traveled on this same with the same that is occurred, yes. How come you came back? Are you following me? Then the finances are down for everybody. But for you, on that place, on that mount, you find the ram in the ticket. Are you following me? You see, these things are beginning to happen, but see, we don't know yet. But when that COVID came now, a lot of churches closed down all of a sudden. The same thing he said in Agar, I'll just quote. He says that, yet once in a little while, I shake the heavens and the earth. He said that, and he said, in the midst of that shaking, he said that the desire of nations shall come. What am I saying? It is these perilous times that God has ordained us to shine. So you cannot pray for the rapture to occur until we shine. It's not going to happen. Understand that. So let's fasten our seatbelts and get to do what the Father wants us. Let's go about our Father's business. Praise the Lord. So what is fear? We are talking about fear. The start of the message, once again, is overcoming fear in this end time. Because it's very important. It's a weapon of distraction that Satan is using to distract God's people. And I dare say we need to be careful again what we watch on social media. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. He bombards the atmosphere with fear. If you have a friend, you always send fearful things to me. And then when he sends it to me, it's not in Nigeria. All my friends abroad. I'm wondering, I've not even heard this thing occurred. It just happened maybe 5 minutes ago. And you sent it to me already. And I'll now go and check Google to find out. And I'll see that. How do you? And then I started making a mistake. which I will send it around. Then I will come God will say, you don't have sent that. Don't spread fear. Not that you don't acknowledge what is going on, but don't spread it. Unnecessary jokes, coarse jesting. I'm still struggling with it. Because I would have laughed, I would have sent it out, and then I wake up in the morning. Those people say, why did you not have sent that? You just deleted it. It's idle talk. It's idle. Bible calls it a perverse tongue. You know, when you say things, perverse is not necessarily talking about immorality. When you say things that God doesn't say. Anyway, let's continue. What is fear? Fear is a spiritual force that came into man's spirit after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. I will explain. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. You don't have to open there. You know when Adam fell and God came down in the cool of the day and he said, Adam, where are you? He said, I hid myself because I was afraid. Are you with me? That was the first time that fear entered into man. And also this fear we're talking about is a derivative of spiritual death. In Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about this. It talks about the fear of death. See that those who through the fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. So it's not talking about physical fear of physical death or somebody killing. No, it's talking about the fear that emanates or proceeds from spiritual death. It's a spiritual force. So it's not something you can wish away. It entered the spirit of man. And when you get born again, God removes that from your spirit. But it comes against your soul and your body. We need to be aware of these elementary, fundamental things. It's very important. That's why the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So it's a spiritual force that also comes out from Satan's spirit. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. Like I said later, all the airwaves are being bombarded daily with fear. Go to CNN. In fact, there's nothing there. Because that is what, you know why? That is what sells. Bad news sells. You want to hear what is happening with this one. Then this one is this one. Okay, they did this one. They kidnapped so and so. And this one fired a missile. But you see, not that we don't, you can't, you have to know some of these things. But don't dwell on them. And the only way you're not going to dwell on them is if you are filled with the Spirit of God. Bible says that a full soul loatheth an honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing. So what does that mean? It's not talking about. The principle there is this. If you fill yourself with the life of God, with the power of God, when we pray a prayer every day, they fill our wills, infuse our wills, our minds with the life of God, you know, with more life, more light, more love. If you fill yourself daily, when you see the same thing that everybody sees, but doesn't affect you. Just like if Adam had eaten of the tree of life, he will have knowledge of good and evil without partaking of evil. But you see, if you don't fill yourself with sufficient power, I'm getting ahead of myself. You see, we're not, you see, there's something I'm going to mention to you, but because let me just mention so I don't forget as it comes to me. The kind of food that, let me give an example, Pastor Laulu's son, Nathan, will eat. I need to take about 4 of it, right or wrong. So if I wake up in the morning, I'm supposed to eat. And I now go and start eating what Nathan is eating. Will I be filled? Will I be filled? No. So bring that in spiritually. If you are supposed to be praying a minimum of 1 hour a day, and then you now retrogress from the most holy place to the holy place, to the outer court, and now start praying for 15 minutes, as a habit, you are going to get into serious trouble. Write it down. That's why the master, when he was going to go to Gethsemane, he separated them into 3 groups, which is a type of the tabernacle of Moses. Some people won't be there. They don't join at all. Judas has gone. You find 8 or so, right? In the outer court. He said, you just sit here. Don't disturb yourself. At that time, they were not praying in tongues. But let us bring to present day context. As we know that in the tabernacle of Moses, the outer court is where they use natural light to see. That like praying in your understanding alone. In the holy place, But you have the candlestick and the showbread. That's a type of praying in the spirit, in tongues. But you see, the master knew that those two compartments was not meant for him. So the Bible says that we drew a stone scar. Stone in the Bible speaks of revelation. The revelation of how he prayed. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with tongue and tears unto him. So he moved a stone's cast to pray the way any person that wants to be conformed to his image to pray. He didn't say when they came back, oh, you guys, you are sleeping. Okay, let me join you. No. He would not have been able to go to the cross. What am I saying? Every one of us will know what we ought to do. Pastor said it last Sunday. He said, for just the regular person, 2.5 hours. For you, a pastor, 5 hours. I said, five hours. But you see, it's for you to, you may not be doing it now, but have that vision and have that focus. The important thing is don't retrogress from the most holy place to the holy place and then to the outer court. Paul said something. He said, having begun the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? No way. Let's continue. So I put in my notes. Lord Jesus Christ says something. He looked about 18 verse 8. I said, this fear, it has one purpose, to deactivate our faith. That's the main purpose. He wants to deactivate. Say deactivate our faith. So our faith is not working. Lord Jesus says something. Said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? When is it coming? It's coming in this end time. So why is this thing so? The abounding iniquity in this end time has caused an increase, say increase, in the spiritual force of fear in the atmosphere. The master said, iniquity will abound. And the love of men will wax cold. How is this manifest? We read earlier on in the book of Luke, that it says the hearts of men will be filling them. Don't think of it as people having an attack. Heart attack. That is part of it. When your heart begins to fail, it means, number one, Lord Jesus said something. He said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But we know what he did to undergird the flesh. So the flesh, normally in the Bible, talks about your soul and your physical body. So when he says the hearts of men are failing them, simply means, first of all, your will. You start experiencing an unwillingness to do the will of God. That's the attack that came against Jesus Christ in Gethsemane. He said, not my will, your will be done. He prayed to strengthen his will. It begins to come against your mind. How does it occur? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3b says that lest you be wearied and faint in your mind, you start getting weary. There's a scripture in the book of Daniel. I don't have time to turn there. It says that there's a spirit that is seeking to wear out the saints of God. You start getting weary. As you are overcoming one, another one is coming up. Then your emotions, the love begins to wax cold. After you've been hit many times, now find it because that can I endure again? I can't endure this again. As it's that force in the atmosphere. But Satan has failed in Jesus' name. So, like I said, there is a way of escape for us. And that is why God is bringing this message. It's nothing new. We already know. It's that we can take it to the things that we have been taught so that we don't allow them to sleep. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, I quoted earlier on. He said, talking to the Philadelphian church, he said, because you have kept every condition in the Bible, every promise by is conditional. You can't say, I'm in the Philadelphia church because I'm a scripture pastor. No. Just like you are not under covering because you are sitting in this church today. No. Covering is spiritual and has to do with your heart. You can be in church and sit down, even in the front seat, and you may not be under covering. It's not the coming to church. Come to church is important. It's your heart submission, connection, so that the same flow can get you wherever you are. So if peradventure you are in a dangerous place, God can reach out and bring you out. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So, because you have kept the word of my patience, that is the condition. It is not just a free for all thing. See, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation that has come to try them that dwell upon the earth. We already quoted Psalm 102, verse 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings, for his heart is fixed trust in the Lord. The Lord. Then, first Timothy, we mentioned, God has not given us spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. There's a scripture that God gave me years ago. some years ago when I was in a situation, difficult situation, and then he spoke to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. We quote it, but God quoted it to me from the Amplified Bible. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Are we there? In the Amplified Bible, that's what it says. You see, when you are in difficult situations, then you start understanding why God puts you there. He says, fear not. There is nothing to what? Fear. For I'm with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. For I'm your God. I will what? Strengthen and harden. Say, harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. There's so much in there that talks about praying. Say, don't be afraid. God will deliberately put you in difficult places. So that initially you'll be crying, oh God, what am I going to do? Then something has happened. Then after some time, start getting hardened. It is what people will see and be shaking all over the place. You just smile, says, no big, no problem. Not that you are arrogant, but you see, God has so much trained you. You know how to use your weapons. You are not arrogant, but you know, like Joshua and Claire said, this is bread for us. They didn't say that the first deal. It took time. You see, when they came out of Egypt, that was all of them murmured, including Joshua and Caleb. He didn't say they murmured with the exception of these two. No, he didn't accept. He said all of them complained. We said, after some time, by reason of time, when this happens, God delivers you. It happens, God delivers you. And he said, this God that, look, enough is enough. If we did it yesterday, God do this. Jesus Christ said yesterday too. So after a period of time, God was counting. He said, these 10 times they are provoked me. But for Joshua and Caleb, they used those 10 times to build their faith in God. He said, this would be a bread for us. Let us go up at once. Because of the experience they've had with God. A scripture that God brought to me recently, you know. That's why you want to always quote these scriptures. When we have some challenges at work, and I'm shaking all over the place, he will say, God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. But with the temptation, you make yourself. So ask God for the way of escape. You know, that same thing is true for the individual. It is true for your family. It is true for the nation. It is true for the world. Our God told me recently, he will not allow you to be tempted above what you have to bear. But if you have not been going for lectures, are you following me? You'll be tempted though. You've not been going, you've not been doing exercises, because there will come a time that God will say, Satan will say, have you considered my servant Job by reason of time? And God will say, okay, it's time. Let's try him. So it now depends on how you have been using the tools you have been told to. And this thing, you see, there are some things that God, apart from general instructions given unto us, there are some that God will tell you to do. Personally, there are some that God has told me to do. Like, make sure you pray every hour. Yes. And I set my alarm to every hour. As I'm talking now, it will be broom, broom. No, I can't talk. I can't say, rub, 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 rub. No, no. I'll just say, Lord, please have mercy on me. My thought, not to walk, to choose the fear and to walk in the love of God. You know what he said? You are supposed to pray and then you think it. If you don't say it, you can't think it. And God gave me scripture. A scripture in Jeremiah chapter, I've forgotten now. What is it? I think it's 5:24. Just talking. I think it's 5:24. Let me check. Talking, you know, Jeremiah was talking. 5:24. Yeah. This is it. 5:24. You know, I was in my Bible. We are in the book of Jeremiah recently. I just read my Bible quietly. And Lord spoke to me and said, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. Meditation. And you're looking at me. And then he confirmed it with Malachi. He said that they shall be mine. You know, those that thought of, think upon his name. Say they shall be mine. Even that fear the Lord and thought upon his name. The same thing. So you think in your mind, I choose to fear God. Then you choose in your fill with the love, the fruit of the Spirit. Then there's a time that you confess it. You release the power. That is, I now understand what Wigglesworth used to do. If you see this Wigglesworth's picture, you know, he has this chain and these old watches that they put. Can I understand what the man... He said, if the man is eating and it's time to pray, we just say, let us pray. We just stop everything and pray. Why? Because he had to keep on infusing his will, his mind with the life and life. Until we take it that serious, we're not going to get the desired result. I discovered that for now, for me, to remember and do it, I must program my phone. Because when I get to talking and my phone is not programmed, I can't do it. I won't even remember. Hours will go. But if I'm talking with people, even if I can't do it, my phone will beep. That consciousness will remind, even if I can't do it, I say, okay, I have to do it. Before I know it again, I have to do it. So even the thought, and when it beeps, I know what it means. So I say, oh, Lord, have mercy. I have to do it. So he brings a consciousness of reality of God. Not that when you just play, he said, watch it. Take it so your heart's not overcharged with suffering, drunkenness, and the cares of his life. Don't let that thing weigh you down. Praise the Lord. So, summary, there are some things that God will tell you. God will tell you, look, this one you are doing, you know, he's not going to cut it though. He whisper to you. You are waking up at 5 o'clock. He won't walk up. He will tell you. You will know. If you like, ignore it. Some people will tell them, hey, look, the first phase of good morning Jesus is not enough. Join the second phase. So you will know in your heart. You say, maybe I've done the first phase. Brother, but better. He's showing you things to come. God will have mercy on us. So let us look at the example of, I already mentioned it, Israelites in Kadesh Barnea. Paul said they were looking at fearful sights. Already, which we are at our own Kadesh Barnea, about to enter the promised land, which is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. As I said, when you see this map, you say, look up for redemption, brethren, the transformation of the body. That's where we are. You know how to summarize? When they got to Kadesh Barnea, Moses sent the spies out. They picked one from each family, and the 12 tribes, they should go. And we know the story. They came back. 10 gave an evil report. And 2, like I mentioned, I said, let's go up at once. I don't have time to read it. But when they came back, it was the fearful sights that people are looking to in this end time that they saw. So, we saw the giants in the land, the sons of Anak. I said, we're like grasshoppers. Folks, when you face a challenge, don't say the wrong thing. No? Don't say, this problem is going to kill me. It will not kill you. Don't give voice to what Satan wants to do. There was a time that God spoke to me. God said, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expectant end. So when anything contrary comes, or somebody says something that is contrary, I said, no, that's not God's thoughts towards me. His thoughts to me are thoughts of good, not of evil to give me an expected end. And that end is the salvation of my soul. So don't allow circumstances to dictate what you say. If you can't say anything like that woman, the widow woman, the son, that's just say, it is well. Praise the Lord. So why is this message very important? I have two important reasons. This is number one. Fear works the opposite way in which faith works. Let's say together. Fear works the opposite way in which faith works. And the easiest example that we'll understand is the example of Job. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job 3, what does it say? Job was talking. Now, God now gives us the reason, or maybe one of the important reasons, of why what happened. Now, we understand that fear is a spiritual force. And we also understand that Job was not keeping spiritual law, which is the only way you can overcome fear, because fear is a spirit. But while he wasn't keeping spiritual law, he must have been saying in his heart, he said, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. So that means that each time the children were parting, having their part, instead of to begin to pray, I just pray for, say, hey, shall my own, this, wouldn't they just die like this? They didn't have feared. That means he was saying, these children, they don't come to church again. God will just judge them. Oh, I'm afraid they will die. Oh, one of these buildings will go and collapse. Like the building that collapsed in that 21-story building. This is why he said the thing he has feared the most came upon him. So fear works the opposite way in which faith works. So speak to the mountain. Back it up with prayer. I'm not talking about just confession. Back it up with prayer. Begin to use your words or intercessor to change what you are seeing. But I say, whilst we look not at the things that are seen, but at things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change. But things that are not seen are eternal. Start saying those eternal things. Don't do what Job did. Don't be fearful. They say when they are getting old now, maybe at this age, people start having kind of disease. You don't entertain it too. I don't have time to talk about some of the testimonies that I can dig in. Ushia, they said that you prayed for one man. The man was stone deaf. He called him out. He prayed for him. And then the man left. And by the time the man came back, they called long story short, the man was stone deaf again, even worse. And now said he sat him down in front of people. He said his, the old servant spent it trying to teach the man. He said, when the man was healed, he said, when he got home, he told his daughter, no, the daughter dropped a pin or a coin. The man said, let me know when you dropped this. He could hear. He said, when the man now went to the post office, that thought came to him. I said, are you sure you can hear clearly again? His head, folks, Satan is bad. He said that, what am I? Then he said the hearing left for a few minutes. Then he came back. Then Satan came back again. The tempter, it's in the Bible. He said, you leave him for a season. You must learn how to keep your healing. Everything that God gives you, I said, I will take it. He said, I'm here to call long story short. He said, the voice came again and said, are you sure that this thing will last? Then he said, what am I? He didn't say what I mean. I spoke to him, but you know, the guy was an Englishman. I said, all of a sudden, the guy got deaf. And then the condition was worse. Bible said, when you cast out the devil, he'll go around, then he'll come back with seven more guests. Now, can you take him now? Prayed for him after a long time, got him healed, and now taught him how to hold fast to his healing. I said, hold fast to that which you have. So no man takes your crown. When devils start bringing thoughts, this will happen to you. You reject it. Fire back. Don't entertain those thoughts. Yeah. We are to daily walk by faith and not by the fearful sights of the end time. I just paraphrase. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith. You don't have money. Walk by faith. Speak to the situation. My God shall supply all of my need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then Satan come back and say, but it's Gary, you're going to take tonight. Say, my God, don't say yes, so it is Gary. Oh, my God, keep saying the right thing. Keep saying the right thing. After some time, Bible says, hold fast to your confession. For we have not a high priest that is not taught between the five families, but every way tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So hold fast to your confession. The second point I have, which is the most important point in this message today, it is those that watch and pray always, that endure a seeing that is invisible, that will see him when he comes. It is those that watch and pray. The first reason is this, which I mentioned. I said that, look, don't entertain fear. Fear works the opposite way faith works. The second reason is, it's those that watch and pray always, that endure a seeing him that is invisible, that shall see him when he comes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27 says, talked about Moses, he endured as seeing him that is invisible. That's what kept him when he ran and left Egypt. Now let's look at the scripture that explains this better. This is why it's very important. Isaiah 58, verse 8 in the Amplified Bible. If you remember, as we go there, we are talking about perilous times. It's in that time that he said, when these things begin to happen, look up for your redemption right now. So that's talking about your watching and praying. That is, what are you watching? Are you looking after the fearful sights? Are you looking for the Son of Man to come in the cloud? Two different things. What does it say? In Amplified Bible, say, hark! Your watchmen lift up their voices together. They sing for joy, for they shall see eye to eye the return of the Lord to Zion. So it is watchmen, not necessarily leading successors. Those that are watching and praying always, that will see the return of the Lord to Zion. So, some people are watching the fearful sight, but you make sure you are enduring daily and seeing him as it's invisible. That should be your focus. Praise the Lord. The other scripture that God gave me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, says that we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What are we seeing? What are you beholding every day? Are you meditating on the newspaper? Are you spending your time? Because garbage in, garbage out. If you spend your time meditating on bad news, you're going to be fearful. The same way that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So fear also comes by hearing and hearing the words of Satan. So if you spend half of your time meditating on this one is happening, this one is happening. But you know, it can be in a place, you see it, but it doesn't affect you. Oh, it is well. God is in control. Okay, they kidnap people. Oh, you feel the pain. But it doesn't make you afraid. You're not afraid to enter taxi. I can't know. You hear people that say, when you enter taxi, and they put a calabash, check, so you don't sit on it. How many taxes do I want to check, for God's sake? Oh, when you go and cut your hair, make sure they don't pack it to you. They can use something. This. I'm trying to get home. And it's true. You see that sometimes in the news, and some people are stealing women's underwear, and they say they will use this for killing call Yahoo Yahoo boys. All this kind of nonsense going on. Ah, my God, have mercy on me. Let them take my hair. Let them try it. And I'll see what God will do. Yes, that is the kind of faith in God that we should have. And you are afraid. Oh, they stole my killing call. Somebody stole my boxers. I don't know what they're going to do with this. What do they want to do with this? Rubbish and nonsense. But if you meditate on that nonsense, they do it too. But this one will not affect me. There is no divination against Jacob. There is no enchantment against Israel. That's what I build my faith on. I'm not going to go and trouble them. I will stay JJ. But if I stay in my place and you come and meet me, where God has put me, I will call fire down. I have scripture for it. I will call fire down. But understand, just trying to. So how do we do this? Which is very important, which is as I begin to close. By daily perfecting the love of God. Let's say it together. By daily perfecting the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. It's nothing, like I said, nothing new. Hearing, say hearing, is our love made perfect. That we may have what? Say boldness in the day of judgment. Because as it is, so are we in the world. Next verse. There is no what? Fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has what? Torment that we're talking about in the end time. If the affair is not made perfect in love. Now, you see, you may not have perfected the love of God. None of us here present are. But you are perfecting, like pastor, you are daily perfecting the love of God. Now, how do we do these things? Because you are perfecting. That means you are going to make mistakes. You are going to omit some of these things that are supposed to do. Are you following me? Maybe you're supposed to watch and pray. Let me that I said now, so you don't say this guy. The one hour that I said that God told me to do, bros, if I have to mark my reason, maybe I think scoring 30 over 100. But what covers up for the lapses? Covering. The same way that the setsman, pastor, mommy, they cover the congregation that them, I get it. They are doing far more than we are doing. Then you in your family, you are covering those under you. It's a step down system. Are you following me? So that's why I said what I said earlier on. Let me say it another way. Can you imagine you waking up at the same time with your children to go to school? Is that possible? No, now so take it spiritually. And can you imagine a parent waking up at the same time that the children are waking up? No. You wake up a great time before dawn. You have woken up as a parent, prepared their food, get everything ready. You yourself, you've ironed your clothes. So what you're doing is, okay, wake up, feed them. I know. So why do you want to waking up at the end of Good Morning Jesus? I don't know. We'll not do that in natural. Why do you want to do it in the spiritual? Are you following me? You should have done your 1 hour before you pray with your children. Yes, 1 hour before in the natural. Spiritually speaking, you should have done that. So it is that covering that covers us for that period of time that we are learning. But there's going to come a time we are going to be ushered to examination hall to do the exam. If he led Christ to the examination hall, he said he was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Are you following me? The Bible says that everybody will like confessing scripture. As many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So you are going to be led one day to be tempted of the devil. Is your examination all? Depending on how you are. But you see, and in the examination all, parents don't enter with their children. It's you alone. That's why on the cross, the master cried, my father, why is that forsaking him? No answer. Son, you are doing your exam. You have enough in you to overcome. Same thing with us. So one day you're going to be led at the one they have taught you. Are you following me? So let's look at the aspect of covering. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. I'm just mentioning. Elisha, know the story. The Syrian army, they surrounded the house. They came to pick him. So he had a servant, a type of force under covering. So what happened? When he saw the natural, the fearful sight, he saw the army, he said, alas, master, how shall we do? Then the master said, those that be with us are more than those that are against us. The Lord, he said, first thing he said, fear not. Next verse, what I'm saying, and he answered, say, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. That's what happens when Pastor Mama will come and say, there will be no third world war. I just about to say, because those that are with us, so that servant was under covering. He had not yet grown to the place that he could see now by revelation that angels encamp around him. I'm not saying we should seek for a vision. But by faith, you should know that there are angels all around you. So if trouble springs up, you can just say, mission spirits, go and clear this nonsense. So that is how we all start. So that we can grow and perfect the love of God. The second thing is, we daily set our wills to do the will of God. We daily set our wills. We do it every morning. I discover if you don't set your will, you're not going to do it. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, I said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So the willingness comes first before the obedience. For if you obey, you must first of all set your will. Are you all with me? Lord Jesus Christ said, not my will, but thy will be done. What was he doing? He was setting his will. When you wake up in the morning, nobody wakes up. Usually I don't wake up, I feel like praying. I just say, Lord, I'm asking me. We do it every time when we want to pray. Pastor will say the flesh does not want to pray. So you first of all set your will. You see, Christianity is about operating principles. It's not gra-gra. It's not gra-gra. If you try gra-gra, you're going to fall flat that day. But when you now understand the principles to activate the love, the spirit of life in Christ, 100 times after 100 times, you're going to defeat Satan. It's not pride when you know what you ought to do. It's when you don't know. Then Satan can run rings and purposes. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So you set your will. Second thing, or the third thing, you choose the fear of God. Say, I choose the fear of God. We all know, but can't get in scripture. We all know scripture, but I'm going to read it from verse 26 so you can understand the context of the end time. He said, because they did not choose the fear of God, then their calamity will come upon them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26, Amplified Bible. Amplified. Let's read. I also, wisdom is talking, will laugh at your calamity. Talking about the end time, in the context that I'm preaching. I will mock when the thing comes that shall cause your terror and panic. Nobody read that earlier on. Next verse. When your panic comes as a storm and desolation and your calamity comes as a whirlwind, when distress of nations and anguish come upon you. Next verse. Then will they call upon me wisdom, but I will not answer. 7 pillars of wisdom. They will seek me early and diligently, but they will not find me now. What is the reason? Next verse. Because what they hated knowledge and did not choose the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. That's the problem. So in this end time, choose the fear of God. Not just in the morning, folks. I saw a lot of things that God started showing me. You choose the Bible says, be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. You know why? By the fear of God, men depart from evil. So you face a temptation of immorality. You've just chosen the fear of God, you depart. It's a principle. Understand. Translate that into your everyday, moment by moment. That's why I say, two things you do. Verse 1. I say, let us hear the end of the commandment. Fear God and keep his commandment. What is the fear of God? You choose it. What commandment? Love. Those are the two things you choose. On these two, hang all the law and the prophets. That's what you choose continually. Hour on the hour, I choose to fear God. When you choose that fear, whenever the temptation comes, it's bribery, corruption, you just chose and say, I choose to fear God. You pray it, then you think it. When that temptation comes, Bible says, it is the fear, that fear, it's a spiritual force. It will make you depart. It will just move you away. And when the fear of Lord is low, like David, when he didn't go to battle, the person will stumble. So you choose the fear of God. Then, number four, putting on the old armor of love. We've been taught. That's what we do. I encourage us again, those that are watching, to join Good Morning Jesus. All this I'm talking about is being practiced every day. Like I said the other time, it's like God saying, let us dunk this victory one more year. Maybe we'll bear fruit. So you put on the old armor of love. Those confessions we take. Then point number five, battle prayer and communion prayer. We all know these things. But there's something that God showed me. I put it in my notes. I said, prayer, the battle prayer and communion prayer, so our faith will not fail under pressure. If you don't pray, your faith will fail. Take it to the bank. If you don't pray in this end time, now let me add what just God brought my heart. If you don't pray enough, it's not just prayer. If you don't pray enough, my own enough may be different from your own enough. Yes. The glass of water that a small boy would drink will not be enough for me. So if you don't pray enough, remember our pastor said, he said for basics, a regular Christian, strive, we'll not be there, so we don't become, strive for tightening your time every 2.5 hours. You know, once you make your mind, you're doing it, you may do 1 hour today, you may do, it doesn't matter. God will cover. He knows you are made of your mind. Bible says, he counted it for Abraham as righteousness. He's doing it. Don't worry. He'll give you enough time. But don't say, I don't believe in praying in 1 hour in tongues. Where is it in the Bible? He told his disciples, say, watch ye therefore. No, he said, who don't you watch with me for 1 hour? In another place, he told them, he said, watch ye therefore and pray always. For you know not the hour. The Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not thought. So you have to combine your praying with your words, with your praying, with your tongues. When God told me these things, I said, wow. I was pondering in my heart. Then he gave me scripture. You shall have one it. He said, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth. But shall meditate there and there. Then God spoke to me. He said, you have to speak it before you can think it. Of course I knew. And I come to church on Sunday. And the pastor quotes Deuteronomy. Have you forgotten? And he said that the word is not even your mouth and your heart that you may do it. And I said, you have to put it in your mouth before you can do it. These are the things you have to operate. These are the two laws. These two, the fear of God and the love of God. You choose them. You think on it. Then you confess and pray it in tongues. So I said, if you don't pray, your prayer, your faith will fail. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. It was the master that said it. Because Peter did not pray. See what he said. He said, but I have done what? Prayed for thee. The kind of prayer that he prayed, my literature of whom I traveled in part again on the cross before you. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That means Peter did not pray enough. It is prayer that undergirds your faith. So two things are involved here. Bible says, love never fails. So if you are not walking in love, are you following me? Your faith is not going to work. Are you following me? So when there's no foundation of love, faith will automatically fail. Because faith worketh by love. Love, it is automatic. Love cannot fail. When I say love cannot fail, see it in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. That is how you relate to everybody that God brings your way. So don't you see love never fails? Yes, I must endure long. I must be patient and kind. Love does not take account of evil done to it. Yes. At the time, I had some recording on my phone. God said, delete it. Delete it. He said, love takes no account of you done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Don't bring it up again. Let it go. You put up, if I say, let me leave it there. Or write it in your diary. They're going to act, try to walk in faith. It won't work. Say, forgetting the things that are behind, good or bad. Forget it. Just forgive. Just move on. Keep moving. Keep moving. So, when there's no, I already mentioned that, then communion prayer, which mommy has brought to the front burner recently. Jude chapter, there's no, the other one, Jude chapter 1, verse 20 in Amplified Bible. What was it in Amplified Bible? Jude 20. These guys are wandering the promised land. Please come back. Jude 20. He said, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. As I was coming, Lord dropped on my heart, I will share. You're building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What is the foundation? But to prayer. Write it down. Say, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost. What is the foundation you are building on? But to prayer. He says that no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. What is that foundation? One of the foundational doctrines of Christ's life is praying with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. That's what you build on. If you don't build on that, you're building on sand. Say that every man take heed how he build. God didn't just give us these things because he just wants to put unnecessary work on us. In this end time, if you don't learn to travel in prayer, you're not going to make it. Let me rephrase what I'm saying so people don't get afraid. If you are supposed to, you know already. By reason of time, you understand and you omit it, it will show up. Let me put it in a nicer way. It will show up somewhere in front. It's going to show up. It's going to show up. Go and write it down. We are to pray more, not less. God didn't just say, okay, let them be doing it. So you don't have an option. Okay, when I like, the Spirit leads me, I will travel. I don't like. It's hard when you blow gently. There's a storm ahead. I was praying about a month ago. God spoke to me in my prayer. He said, there's a storm coming. I said, yes. But you know, God doesn't make you afraid. He said, but you can ride the storm. He said, we can ride the storm. Things are going to get darker in the world. Don't be afraid. But God has given us the way of escape. They look up for our redemption right now. So it is on that foundation that you can build up. So when they start praying, good morning, Jesus, as they begin to make the confessions, start building yourself up. Start building yourself up. You are charging your battery. Where every battery that is charged is supposed to be used. So when they now start praying, you go through all the modes. Petition, supplication, groan. Learn. It's an avenue for you to practice. Don't sit down and say amen. 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 It's okay for evangelicals that join. They're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. God will cover them. That's why the eight that are outside. They're supposed to pray in tongues and you've not had the knowledge of prevailing prayer. It's okay. There's some people like that. They don't understand. God will bring knowledge to them. So no problem. They're in the holy place. But you, that you know, and you neglect it. He said, if any man shall take away, don't take away, add rather to it. Let's bow down to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to the Lord. Revelation chapter 22. Are we there? Let's read it. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall what? Take away his own part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, out of the things which are written in this book. That takeaway is talking about omission. It's omission. When you start omitting the weightier matters of the law, the consequence of that omission is going to show up. Let me give a similar example. When you take your antibiotics, you say don't miss it, right? Make sure to complete the dosage. Because if you don't complete it, that problem will develop immunity. Resistance, sorry. Are you following me? You talk, develop resistance. So the next time I'm going to, you have to take something that is stronger. Are you with me? So don't say, I'm okay. That's the whole essence of covering. Covering is to cover you while you are. I'm not saying God does not demand immediate perfection, but demand immediate practice. Keep practicing. When you get up, it doesn't matter. I will do it. You are fine. You don't have any problem. We will make it. But when you say, no, I'm not going to do this thing, it's very dangerous. So that's how we, you know, say, if don't take away from it. The last point I don't have to mention, I just forgot, is watching and praying numbers, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, you know, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Say, when you wake up, when you lie down, when you walk in the way, all those things, you know, you'll not be doing everything, but let's start practicing. I trust that the Lord will help us. That's why he said to Philadelphia church, because you have kept, not because you have not kept, the word of my patience that is consistent in doing these things, I also will keep you. From the hour of temptation has come to try them to dwell upon that. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We are grateful. I dost thou under your wing. Let's sing of the Lord in worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Within your mighty hands, when the oceans rise and thunders roar, we will soar with you above the storm.
Rest my soul.
Find rest my soul.
In Christ alone.
In Christ alone.
No is found.
No is found.
Quietness and strong.
In quietness and strong. When the oceans rise. Over the floor, we will be still and know you, my God. We will be still and know you, our God.
When
the ocean rise and thunders roar,
we will soar with you,
we will soar with you above. Over the flood, we will be still and know you, our God.
We are now still,
we are now still,
still
and know you, our God.
Keep playing that saxophone. I'll drop the scripture in my heart. Keep playing it, please. I'll just read it. Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swellings thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The hidden rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's pray. Lord, let's put one on our hearts and let's around them. Lord, please have mercy on us to cling with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me not to be fearful in these perilous times. I thank you for the way of escape you have made available to me. Therefore, I determine afresh by your mercy and your grace under covering to daily choose the fear of God, to daily put on the old armor of love, and to daily pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, and to continually build myself up, founded up on my most holy faith, make progress, rising like an edifice, higher and higher as I pray frequently in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in tongues. Father, we thank you for your message. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. In Jesus' name.